And it's time to talk to Mayor Julia Loy. And Julia, the Cairns Post has reported that you're not pleased with some far north councils, that is Cook and Woodjill councils, over a controversial feasibility study into the sealing of the Bloomfield track, their plans for the future of the track. You're not happy with the way that's heading, and you're saying that they already know that.
Very well acquainted with the particular position of Douglas Shire Council, in that the four-wheel drive Bloomfield track remain as is, as a four-wheel drive track. It is still a very good track and road most of the time, except when there's very heavy weather between Douglas and, of course, Woodrow when it's necessary. One of the things is that sometimes, of course, it can be closed, just like at the moment, even aspects of the PDR and other roads around the far north are also closed when we have heavy rain. We do spend a lot of effort in maintaining that track, and when we've had that track affected by cyclones, for example, as a result of Cyclone Ida, we did spend some significant money after that. So we've always had capital improvements in our budget within our means, and we have also had maintenance. One of the key things is that there's a whole lot of flow-on effects in terms of sealing it. And one of the key things is that the removal of a significant World Heritage rainforest to actually seal the road, because the sealing of the road is not just dumping a bit of tar on it. It would require major realignment. We have some very high sort of hills. Donovan Range is an example. It would mean chopping off those hills. It would mean major realignment, reconstruction, and probably various estimates over the years. We're now looking at, you know, it could be 120 million odd plus, depending on the engineering design. So I knew that there was something afoot with Woodshaw and Cook wanting to have a study. But this study, it does not actually really venture into the engineering aspects, and it certainly doesn't adequately venture into the environmental consequences and the flow-on effects in terms of increased traffic and the need then, of course, to actually have additional road widening between the ferry and Cape Tribulation. We already know that the ferry does get congested in peak times, and so for a whole range of reasons. This is an iconic part of our tourism industry as well. And as you're well aware, tourism is 80% of our local economy. We have people who are very keen over many years to keep it that way. The other issue sometimes that people raise is that it would make it safer to seal it, and that is not necessarily the case, because you need to drive to conditions. And by sealing the road, even in the report that I did ask for late last week, which I've been able to have a look at, it actually refers to increasing speed limits. Now, doesn't matter if it's sealed or not. People need to drive to conditions in our remote areas. Mm-hmm. And also, the other thing that often happens is a tree will fall down. Of course, in our heavily forested areas, trees fall down and they have to be removed so that we can have continued access. Trees fall down whether a road is sealed or not sealed. So there's a whole lot of reasons. But the other thing that, of course, was particularly bizarre for us is that there was no input from us. We weren't asked, either council or our officers weren't asked for any input into this study. We weren't asked, for example, for a draft report that we could have made some comments on. And so some of the aspects of that report are inaccurate. And so that's why I've made those comments, because they know our particular position. The report has got some inaccuracies. Even the initial estimates of a sealing of the road, it would be a very, very expensive task, require additional upgrades. The increased traffic flow would be a big concern. And there's a big impact on the environment. Despite what the report says, they say they've made inquiries to what Tropics Management Authority and Great Barrier Reef, GRUMPA Authority, but there's no, even the report revealed no definitive research that quantifies unsealed road impacts on the environment and the benefits of sealing in relation to this or other comparable sections of road. There's some beautiful stretches on that road. Imogen Creek, for example, and others, they're really, really special. A lot of people would wonder, really, what are the benefits as opposed to the disbenefits? Mm. And so we're very entitled to make these comments. The road is in our backyard. It is in our shire. We own the road. We're responsible for the road. I mean, I don't go around, you know, to talking about other councils' infrastructure and expecting them to do various things, perhaps just to make our life easier. When you, even the study shows that the benefits of reduced times for travel, for example, you know, that's why there will be a continuing debate, Paul, but this is our council's decision at the moment, and I know it's supported by the vast majority of our residents as
Well, interesting. Now, the Woodjill and Cook councils, you'd know your counterparts there. Is it a case of you picking up the phone and having a chat to them? Because there's nothing worse than a war of words publicly through the media, because things get, you know, through that lens, sometimes things get distorted. Are you able to pick up the phone and talk to your counterparts and have a reasonable discussion over this? Do you think they would listen?
Oh, look, we've actually been talking about this for quite some time. We do get on very well. We acknowledge that there are sometimes differences of opinions and positions and policy decisions, and that's throughout the 13 councils and FNQ ROC. I have spoken to Mayor Desmond Talley from Woodshall just last week, only mid last week, and I initiated conversations and Happy New Year to both Peter Scott of Cook and as I've already said, of Desmond. I mean, look, in the FNQ ROC, that's the Far North Queensland Organisation of Councils, we're actually looking at and dealing with a very high number of issues. And so we talk about a lot of things. As you're aware, we went down to Canberra mid-September, and we also went to Brisbane as a collective, and that was in October. And we're planning another delegation prior to the federal election, and that's scheduled for the second week of February. So there's lots of things that we talk about. We're generally on the same page with many, many things, but in this instance, we're not.
That's fair enough too. We're talking to our Mayor Julia Loy, her first chat with us for the brand new year of 2019. Now, the iconic Tropical Journeys Great Barrier Reef Marathon will not go ahead this year. A national replacement will take its place in 2020. So, Julia, this is sort of a lose-win situation.
Look, it's interesting, actually. I'm sure, you know, some people who want to participate would be disappointed. And, of course, Council has contributed by way of a sponsor for this marathon for some time. I think we're in probably maybe in the last year of an agreement. I think it's $10,000 cash and $10,000 in kind. I don't know all the specific details, but from what I've read, I commend them for having the ambition to take what is a locally grown Port Douglas event across the nation. Good on them.
But we miss out on it this year, unfortunately.
Look,
that's a little sad.
I'm sure there'll be people disappointed. I don't know the specifics about why they may feel that they can't carry on with the event, given they've got the template, they know what they're doing with that, and at the same time continue with the broader ambition. So I suppose generally, if you want my answer, it is disappointing, but I understand. And, you know, event organisers have to make those sort of calls, because they're the ones who know how to run their event and, you know, what's involved in terms of resources, etc.
Absolutely. Julia, the Flagstaff Hill walking trail is being fixed up following weather damage. You've committed funds to do so?
Yes, we actually committed funds in our 18-19 budget. We committed $200,000 at that time, and that was particularly after the damage that we sustained last March. We were waiting, of course, until a good time to actually do that. We also have a whole raft of capital works that we're doing. We can't do every capital work improvement at the same time, but we always planned that we would want to do it more hopefully after the wet season, not before the wet season. And it's probably just as well, because, as you know, we have had another lot of rain in December, and so we've been able to, you know, re-look at what we're doing with that. But we've certainly got fully committed and it will be restored.
Yeah, well, Marion and I are looking forward to walking that because we haven't done so yet because of the damage in March.
Yes, yeah, even up until now, people can go from 4 Mile up to the area where it's got that beautiful viewing platform.
Mm-hmm.
So there's aspects of it that you can enjoy if you wish. But obviously the way it is at the moment, naturally we can't let people walk on it in terms of when it's unsafe. We need to make sure that we restore it to its glory. I know it's incredibly popular. I get great feedback from locals and, of course, visitors. And I know when we conducted some consultation in the early time of the design and the announcement that we were going to do this, I mean, I had people, you know, walking out of the consultation and just, you know, giving me such a big thumbs up, and the council at the time saying, you know what, I've been waiting for this for 25 years, good on you.
Yep.
It's always difficult. You know, it's amazing how many people think that they're a qualified engineer and experienced in all sorts of engineering in terms of tracks and roads and all sorts of stuff. But, you know, we certainly take advice from the experts, and we've already got people who will be, as I say, reconstructing that track.
Good. Local artists, writers and the like are being encouraged to apply for a grant through the Regional Arts Development Fund. The RADF is a partnership between the Queensland Government and your council. Pardon me. It's a partnership between the Queensland Government and the Douglas Shire Council. It's apparently, Julia, to support local arts and culture in regional Queensland. And we've seen some examples of this with Pam, for example, in her book.
Look, yes, absolutely. But this is a really popular program. It always has been in the Douglas Shire. And each year we've always committed more funds, and that's resulted in increasing funds from the state government as well. And we have such a long list of really, really successful projects and successful artists in all the different artistic forms. So I very much encourage people to take advantage of this. This morning we do have a session at the council for people who want to know more about the fund,
mm-hmm.
and that's happening at 10:30 this morning.
Good.
In the Mossman office. However, if you can't make that, I really encourage you to contact our staff. Our staff involved in the program really want to hear from people because they will be able to help them to actually structure their application. They can talk about what's eligible, what's not eligible. And so it's an exciting program. It is been a great thing for Douglas, as I've already said, over many, many years.
Yep.
And people will be surprised how many people they know that have actually kicked off sometimes their cultural or artistic career as a result of a Regional Arts Development Fund grant from the Douglas Shire Council.
Absolutely. Now, Julia, Australia Day is this Saturday. Looking forward to that. There's a free barbie put on by the council down at the community centre there. Now, you are at odds with the PM, Scott Morrison, who says people need to leave the thongs and shorts at home at official Oz Day functions. But you say the exact opposite.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. Look, I actually heard, and I saw the PM say this live one Sunday, just briefly while I was checking out a few other things locally on the news. And I thought, wow, what's he doing? He's trying to tell us how to dress. And in far north Queensland and in Douglas Shire, I realised when I looked and thought about people who come to our ceremonies, and I must say, everyone has always looked fantastically tropical and cool and very appropriate. But there are people who do come in shorts, quite nice shorts, boardies, and there are people who come in thongs. So what would that mean? Would that mean that someone has to play the role of fashion police and say you're allowed in to, or you're not allowed into your ceremony and your friends and your, your friends and families and other people who want to enjoy the ceremony may not be allowed in. And I thought more and more about it. I'm certainly not going to play the role of fashion police. It is totally inappropriate. It may be okay in an air-conditioned office in Canberra, but in far north Queensland in particular, and I know in a lot of parts of regional Australia, people need to wear what's comfortable, what's cool, and what they want to wear, whether that's their former national dress, whatever. And so I think that I was quite happy when asked what I thought to say what I have already said in terms of ultimately people should be free to wear what they choose for our tropical climate.
I agree with you. And I can remember when I first came up here and I went out to our first media thing that we had to cover for Fab FM, and I got into the long pants and the long, the shirt, thinking, gee, everybody will turn up with tie and of course, I got there, everybody's in shorts. And I soon realised that in this part of the world, it's just so hot if you go out in that sort of clobber.
Look, it is. And it's actually, it's dangerous. And everyone's different. And you really need to, just dress how you feel like it. I mean, I know I spend a lot of time actually finding fabrics that are cotton. I want fabrics that can breathe. And I must say, there's lots of fantastic cool and tropical clothing that is sold here by our retailers right here in the Douglas Shire.
Okay, so not only do you hear from our Douglas Shire Mayor, but you get little fashion tips on this segment as well, which is wonderful. Now, Julia, there's a rumour around, I've heard it in a few quarters, that you may not contest the next council election in 2020 and run for mayor. Now, is there any truth in that, or is it just scuttlebutt?
Well, I've got a frog in my throat today. Look, I have to say, there is no truth for rumours. We often laugh about the rumours that get around the Douglas Shire because sometimes they do start and we wonder where they come from. Look, people often ask me if I'm going to run for the next election, and it's happened really since the week after I was first elected. And I have to say, at this stage, I certainly intend on running, and anyone who's asked me, that's exactly what I've said. There's no point beating around the bush and being coy about the matter. There's a lot of things that I want to continue to do as mayor, and we've still got 14 months to go till the next election. We've still got over a quarter of this term still to achieve what we want to, what we've set out to do. And it's interesting because, obviously, as we're all well aware, we've got a federal election. And so it's already heating up with a federal election. I'm sure that people do not want to be inundated at the moment with local government election campaign types. I think once the federal election is well and truly over, normally the election sort of campaign debates doesn't really occur till, a few months out, certainly not 14 months out.
Well, that's pretty straightforward, Julia. Thank you for that, because, these rumours float around. You never know where they start or whatever. But as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, I'll ask you anyway up front. And you've been up front and you've said there's no truth to it. You're going straight ahead. You want to be mayor again. And that's how it is. I wonder if there'll be somebody stand against you. Does that happen? Does it happen sometimes when people don't stand against a sitting mayor and the mayor's the only one that's got the hand up?
Look, it's quite rare, but it does happen. There's always been someone that stood against me. When I first ran in 2008 as a councillor with CRC, there were 8 candidates. In 2012, I think there was 5. When I ran for mayor in 2013, I had one other candidate.
Oh, they're whittling down.
Yeah, last time I had one. maybe not. I think we're into such a great space with the Douglas Shire at the moment. We'll be into surplus. Our 5-year sustainability, our financial sustainability plan is absolutely well on track. We're going to be having, major wins. I think this year on the back of a lot of hard work, we know that, very much hoping that now the Mossman Mill has been saved, for example, the aged care facility in Mossman. We've done everything we can to make sure that that goes ahead. We have the Marina DA. We're already in discussions with Crystal Brook about that, and we're expecting them to be submitting their fresh DA in the first quarter of this year.
Good.
And that's just to name a few. So there's lots of positive things happening, and I've no doubt that we will have a lot of candidates. And so we should. That's why we fought to get back the Douglas Shire. That's why we fought to have the opportunity to have our own democracy.